Book and stand. Let's turn to page 145. Page 145. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Let's sing the second and then the last. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. Good singing.
Well, good afternoon. Do you have a day of refreshment? I hope so. I had a little refreshment myself. And just a second before we greet each other and walk around, we've got a lot to pray for tonight. I just got word that Steve Davidson, Brother John's brother, he had a stroke, and he's got a little paralysis and 60% something blockage on one side of his artery and stuff of that nature. He's a pilot, so it's going to take him out of work for a little while, I'm sure. And not only that, pray for Brother Tom, and he's going to tell you, don't worry about me, but pray for the doctor. So, you know, the doctors say this is something to do every day, and as he said, not on me. So pray for the doctor as far as that goes. The pastor's daughter in up there in Pampa, she delivered yesterday finally by C-section, and the baby had a little problem with the heart rhythm. Now the heart physically looks okay, so hopefully it's just a matter of getting everything in rhythm and going. We've got a lot to pray for. So I tell you what, before we take off and greet each other, Brother Wayne, would you just pray for us right now, and we'll get started with that. Come in. Take a moment to greet each other.
All right, folks, let's turn to page 13. If you promise to be good, I'll let y'all sit down. Nobody's sitting down. Okay, y'all can sit down. It's okay. Page 13, The Longer I Serve Him. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Good. 276. Page 276. Let's sing the first and last.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. All right, you can be seated.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your place and receive this evening's offering, and we'll go over a few announcements while we're doing this. The going to have 4th of July picnic at Brother CR's house. His fun starts at 5, and hot dogs and hamburgers will be provided, and the cookies and cookies, and chips and whatever sides you want to bring, the drinks. That's on whatever you want to do. Nothing that needs to be refrigerated, please. And it says, if you can, if possible, share a ride. And parking can be challenging out there, but that's okay. Fireworks are allowed. We will count fingers before and after. Make sure we still have all the same that's after as we started and everything. Look forward to having a good time out there. They have congratulations on Andrew and Caitlin Martin now, as of yesterday, on Saturday, July 15th at 2 o'clock, we'll have a wedding reception here in our gym for them. So looking forward to seeing them. VBS is right around the corner. That's going to be the 24th through 28th. And 4 years through 6th grade, should I say. And we still could use a few more volunteers, possibly. And the registration for pre-registration and volunteers registrations out there on the back. Concerning what didn't make it in the morning, Brother Tom is having neck surgery, if you haven't heard. And so we'll be leaving here with the van, whoever wants to go with us, at 6:45 in the morning. And yes, we can stop for coffee if you want to. Anyways, we're just worried about that. Yes, we can get that morning eye opener. And when tomorrow afternoon, just, well, guys, I'm gonna need some help with this. And tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we need to load the trailer with the tables and the chairs and the barbecue pit and the tents and everything of that nature to take to CR. So anybody can help me with that, I will greatly be appreciative. And anyway, with all that being said, I can't think of anything. Pray for the Turners on their trip back. And I'm sure they're anxious to get back to see us. So I can't think of anything else right now. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful day we've had in you so far, Lord. Lord, we're asking right now to be at the offering you're about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. Lord, I do ask and covet your blessing on me tonight, Lord. Just ask, please, be with me. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, good evening again. I'm back, like I went somewhere. Brother Turner asked me to preach tonight, and I gladly jumped at the chance and said yes. And I've hinted before that it's kind of like the bat boy, you know, pitching. You know, the bullpen is used up, and they've got down to the very last. And I guess maybe that could be true. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, when he asked me to preach, almost immediately I had something that the Lord put on my heart, and I said, oh no, not that one. And I went to study and try to do some taking a different direction, and every time we go there, he kept bringing me back around this way. And I've heard for many years, the Lord has laid something on my heart. Heard preachers say this, and I think this is one truly time that I understand it now. I couldn't get away from it, so it's like, oh, I don't want to do that one. And he said, oh, yes, you do. And so I don't know why, for whatever reason, anywho, I've learned a lot. And I imagine most teachers, if they've studied right, and preachers, if they've studied right, they get more than they give. And I truly understand if that would be the case tonight, because this is something I've tried to get away from. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to. You know, this is what I want you to do. And so it has been a difficult time for me. So just please pray for me on this one. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. And if you'll stand in honor of the reading of the word. And we'll start in verse 12, and we're going to just read three verses here, and then we'll go from there. It says, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place unto myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you again, Lord. I'm asking right now, for whatever reason that you've put this one on me, and Lord, thank you for the reading of the word. If nothing else, we can say, if we left right now, just a reading of the word, we can say it's been good being here, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to give me clarity of thought. Go with this. Lord, be with us here and receive it. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Give just a little bit of background here. I studied and studied and studied. I had enough notes to last us for 5 or 6 hours here, and figured that wasn't going to go over too well. So I condensed it down and condensed it down and condensed it down, and it kept bringing it down some more. And I hope I can get through before the sun goes down tonight. Give you a little background of what's taking place here. Solomon has just offered a prayer to the dedication of the temple that was just recently built. David wanted to build the temple, and God said, no, not you. And I told him that Solomon is going to be the one, your son is going to be the one who's going to build this temple. And Solomon, they build the temple. And he just offered a prayer to the dedication of the temple. And we could go back and look at the prayer, and oh my, there's some really good stuff in it. It really is. And it has a, when you go back and do a little bit of looking, it doesn't take long to notice that there's a lot of similarities between that prayer and what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament. And
One of the things that he did, which was right up front, he said, Lord, if you allow. And then he says, and if the people which will repent. And that was a common theme of it right there. If you allow and people repent, and then you will bless. That was kind of the common theme of the prayer. We can go back and look a little bit more at that if we had time and wanted to tonight. But at the end of the prayer, if you look in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Now when Solomon made an end to the prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord was filled with the house." I can only imagine what that could have been like. You know, here's the preparation of the temple. God is not going to be dwelling in a tent anymore amongst his people. He has a permanent residence, so to speak, brick and mortar. Has no more tent, and he basically answers the prayer with, "Yes, I'll take it. You know, this is where I'll dwell among my people here on earth. You know, at that present time, and the fire. If you can imagine how that when he said amen, and the fire come down. Wow, how great could that have been? I mean, just the spectacle of it all, and I can't even imagine what it could have been like, you know. And then they go and continue for a while. I mean, they have a feast for 7 days, and they carry on. And it takes them that long to finish the feast. And it says all of Israel there is there for the dedication of the temple. And this is a big to-do on this. Now, this is where I'd like to catch up with our reading here, and we'll go from here with that. It says, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night. This is days after the fire coming down and the consumption of the offering. This is something where God appeared unto Solomon personally. He didn't appear to all the people. He didn't, appear to the leaders of the people, the tribes possibly. He appeared to one man, Solomon. And he did it privately here, okay? I want to make a note, just bring up a little something right quick, and take a little side trip on this. You know, back in Genesis chapter 12, when the Lord was instructing Abram on what he wanted him to do, and the first time he talks to Abram, he's wanting him to leave his father and go into a land which I will show you, is what he said. You know, here's something that a man has, the infancy of a nation trying to start off here, the thought of it, they weren't even thought of yet. And God tells Abram, "Hey, I've got plans for you. I want you to go and do this." In verse 1, he said to him, he just spoke to him, okay? And after he obeyed, after he went, in verse 7, it says, "The Lord appeared unto Abraham," or excuse me, unto Abram. There's a progression that we'll all go through. You might say, why in the world would the Lord give us something in his word? We only have what he wants us to know right here in front of us. And one person can read it and, it'll just be words. And the next person can read it and it can be much more. Or maybe you read it the first time and it's just words, and you read it the second time and it's like, "Oh, I didn't see that before. This is something new." was quite possibly he's waiting on us to obey. Okay? When Abram obeyed, when God told him first, then he appeared. Okay? And of course, he got to go. It was the awesome stuff that the Lord did through him and by him, you know, just because of his obedience. So I like to make that somewhere along the line, that Solomon, he obeyed God. And now God is appearing to him here. And he's doing it in a very personal way. And he tells him, he says, I have heard thy prayer. You ever wonder if God actually hears our prayers? I'm going to say yes. Yes. Now, if you've never asked him to come into your heart, ask him to and declare him to be your Savior, well, I don't think they'll get much higher than the ceiling. But once you actually declare God as yes, your God, Jesus, your Savior, and yes, I accept your Son as a repayment for my sins, he hears everything that we want to talk to him about, okay? From the biggest thing to the littlest things. Those who got to be at the Senior Saints dinner the other day, y'all got to hear a little bit of a testimony that I had on a real short, little insignificant prayer, a very, very insignificant thing. I went fishing. Everybody knows I like to fish, okay? And right off the bat, caught a fish, boom, no, you know, it just happened. Sat there for the rest of the day, a long time without catching a fish. And usually that's no biggie, you know, but I got thinking, I've been down here for a while, it's getting a little on the hot side and everything. And then I was reminding the kids to be aware of God and everything they do. And I thought, oh, come on, Curtis, practice what you preach, you know. And I said, okay, Lord, you're right. Lord, thank you for the fish that you allowed me to catch. And then, you know, Lord, thank you for the beautiful day that you give me here. Lord, thank you for the ability to be here. Thank you for the going through some thank yous. That's all it was. And then I kind of made a petition. I said, Lord, I'd really like to catch a fish. I'd really like to catch a really nice fish. You know, and make this trip very worthwhile. And I would like to say thank you in advance for catching a fish. And I was praying this, and I was in the middle of that. My cork goes around. It sinks out of sight. I set the hook. I come with about a 5-pound channel cat. You say, now that sure does seem silly and insignificant. Maybe. God answered that prayer. And as silly and as insignificant as that quite possibly could be, what big stuff has he given us that maybe we should be praying about? Okay? God told Solomon, hey, I've heard your prayer. And he says, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. You know, Solomon, he could have built that, you know, that temple. And he could have said, okay, here's the temple that, we'll put it over here to the side, and you know, and if God likes it, he'll like it, and if not, we'll turn it into a place to do whatever we want to do into it. But he did it right. He dedicated it to God. He put God at as an emphasis. It was God's house. It was a special place, a sanctified place for him, and he did it according to way God wanted it done, and it was acceptable to him, okay? You know, this old world, you look around, and in some of the places you go, ew, that's yucky, that's dirty, that's nasty. And almost every place that takes place is some place that we, as humans, as man, has had our fingers in. You know, all the beautiful places of this world, God created, okay? Now, he's allowed us to through engineering and the know-how and the smarts and to build some pretty nice places also. But compared to what he's created, can't hold a candle to it, okay? And so he is, if you can imagine that this is a place built with human hands that was good enough for God to say, okay, I'll accept it. I'll take it. That's good enough for now. You know, for now. You know, where does he live now? He lives here within us now, okay? He if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, he dwells in you. Holy Spirit's in you. And yet, will he look at us as he looked at this brick and mortar building and say, I'll accept this place as a place of sacrifice? Well, let's move on down to what road here a little bit. Verse 13, he says, if I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I can command a locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And if we go back and look at the prayer that Solomon prayed, he prayed a lot of these ifs and what fors and whys along the way. He said, if you were to send a locust, and if you were to send a drought, and if you were to send a mildew, and if you were to send the wind, and if the people were to fall under bondage, or if they were to go to war, and if they were to sin, and do a lot of ifs and what for. He put a lot of ifs out there, and God broke it down to three little ifs right here. And he says, if there be no rain. You could almost look at these three ifs as three circumstances. It says that if there be no rain, if God were to say, if I were to not let something happen, think about it like that. Can we control the rain? Well, we can't control the rain. The Bible says it rains on the just and unjust. Okay, we can prepare for the rain. We can plant our crops. We can build our dams to collect the water. Okay, we can prepare all we want to for this, and unless God allows it to happen, it's just not going to. Okay, and so he just look at something that as if he says, if I were to shut off the rain, if I were to shut up heaven that there be no rain, he says, or if I command a locust to devour, this one right here is the one that kind of stuck in my craw really bad. Okay, I had to sit back and let this one sink in for a little bit. It says, if he were to let something, this is in my feeble mind how this works here, okay? If he were to let something use your resources. You know, the locusts, is when the locusts came and devoured, they devoured the plants that was already planted. They went and they had a crop that they purposely planted, okay? They go and they prepare the ground, and they let the Lord has let it rain on them, and the crop has come up. They're thinking, oh boy, we're going to have a blessing. Look what we get to do. We get to eat. Who does not like to eat a little bit around here, okay? He said, we get to eat. And he says, if I allow the locust to come in and devour, oh my. This is farmer, farm community here. They are agricultural-based people. They made their money on agriculture. They were farmers. They were shepherds, ranchers. They grew orchards, and they understand that kind of stuff. That's where most of their living was. they lived off the land still. They didn't have Walmart to go to. Now, they might have had some trading in the market, but I'm sure it was, they didn't have the stuff that we have today as far as the trade for. I mean, they didn't make their living outside of agricultural hardly at all. There's very little living to be done like that, okay? And so he said, you know, if I were to cause the locusts to come, he says, this something, use your resources. Folks, I want to stop there in just a second, a little bit. What do we have as resources? Well, we, very few of us have crops we can say, oh boy. I mean, I don't think there's a single one of us in here that has a garden big enough that you live off of it year round and it supplies all your money. Okay, so there we go. What is the key word for part of one of our resources? Our resources is money. Do we not kind of depend on it? Okay, we got to have it day in and day out. We got to have it for our transportation. We got to buy the gas. We got to, you know, number one, buy the transportation. There's you know, things that if you have transportation by law now, we got to have insurance. What's insurance cost? Money, you know. And, you know, everything that we do, it requires a little bit of money or a lot of money, depending on our wants and wishes and how well we're plugged into. What happens from time to time when something happens to cause that money to get a little thin? You know, fortunately, Brother Bob, a while ago, there's involved in a little old fender bender. You know, wasn't nothing to him, you know. He had that great big old iron bumper Ford truck, you know. The little old car bounced off of it and spun around five times. Well, no, it didn't really happen. It just barely tapped him, thank goodness. Nobody was hurt, okay? They exchanged their stuff and they went on about the way. But what if it would have been something bigger than that? You know, the Lord had his hand on there and he blessed it there, but just as something that's simple that takes place every single day. We see these wrecks out here every day. I was out here mowing the grass the other day and I heard one. It was tremendous. No squeals, no horns, no nothing. It was a bam, bam, bam. Looked up and there's four vehicles involved, and one of them looked like an accordion. You know, pickup bed was up in the air and front end smashed in, front end both is, you know, it was bad. That cost somebody something. It did. Two of those vehicles was not going to drive again. They were going to the wrecking yard. Okay. What if that were to happen to one of us here today? Okay. That is something that you could put up there as the Lord allowing to devour our resources. You know, the money that we had, the things that we had, the things that break down. Something that we depend on here in Texas every day. You ever wonder how blessed we are? Really, how blessed are we? We're sitting in this nice room, 90 plus degrees outside, and I don't see anybody fanning just yet. I might see one or two shivering. But Arnold, this thing's cranking pretty good up here. It feels really good. This AC, we have got this AC stuff taken for granted. We're blessed with this. But when it goes out, oh my, that is something that we will scramble for to get fixed. You know, the Lord has got us spoiled that way, or blessed that way, if you want to say. Well, what if that were to take place? So that, well, where do we get this? How do we fix it? Do we go to the air-conditioned tree and pick it? No. We got to use a little money on it, you know. Then we can go on down the line and see the things that God will allow to use our resources. You know, he says he'll hold back the rain, it's something that he will not let happen. Okay? If he commands the locusts to devour, that's something that he's going to allow to take our resources. And the pestilence. He says, and if I send pestilence among my people, well, that's the ability or the taking away their ability to do for ourselves. My. The fact that we can do what we want to physically on our own, well, that's just God allowing us to do what He designed us to do. But as we get on a little further, you know, that possibly Brother Tom, he's fixing to have a little pestilence on him. Okay, he's going to have a stiff neck for a little bit. Brother John, his brother mentioned, all of a sudden having a little pestilence. You know, there are ability to take care of ourselves, some injuries or illnesses that takes place. Now, keep in mind, this is God speaking to Solomon. And he's basically saying, if I allow this, all right, God allows everything that takes place in our life. It's not by happenstance that it takes place. It's not by, you know, oops. He allows it to take place. You know, and if we were to go look at Job, and the devil, you know, he tells God, he says, I can't touch him. God mentions, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, I can't touch him. You won't allow anything to happen to him. You got a hedge of protection around him. The devil even realizes that. Do we realize that? Honestly, do we realize that everything that we have that is given to us, that we are able to do, or everything comes from God? Are we that aware of it? Okay? The devil was that aware of it. He even asked God. He said, okay, take your hands off of him and let's see how much of a Christian is he. How much does he love you? You know, well, God being all-knowing, he knew the answer to that. He goes, okay, go ahead, you know. I know how it's going to end. You know, and you know what? He knows how we're going to react and how we're going to end up also. Okay? So, why in the world would he allow this to take place? You know, why would he not send the rain? Why would he allow the locusts to devour? And why would he send some pestilence to us? And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. You know, years ago, I heard a Jehovah's Witness say this verse is strictly for Jehovah's Witnesses. And I go, huh? What? He goes, yeah, we're Jehovah's Witness. We're God's people because we're called by His name. You know, if that's the way they want to do that, I know. Okay. He's you know, this is a verse, you know, that God is talking to Solomon, the king of Israel. Okay. God's chosen people. But let's fast forward a little bit. If we were looking at the book of John, you know, he says he came to his own received him not. And he says also there in the book of John, you know, first chapter, he says, it's for many, as many to receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Okay? You know, we can put ourselves right here in this verse because of that. Okay? We are in Christ. Christ is in us. Christ is God's Son. Okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in one. Okay, we can put ourselves right here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, oh my, We kind of like each other, don't we? Excuse me. We like ourselves, don't we? You know, what's the first place that we go to in the morning? And we go to that little room, and chances are when you go by that little room, it's got this thing on the wall that when you look at it, it looks back at you. You know, how many times a day do you go to that thing called a mirror? And I don't have to do that too much, but anyway, you know, how often do we? We like ourselves a lot, don't we? We really do. I mean, it's just, we want to look good. We think a lot about ourselves. We'll get a little owie, a little hurt, whether it be visible or something unseen, and we get a little worried about it because we like ourselves, and we'll go to the doctor for them to say, yeah, you know, it'll pass in 10 days and give me $90 for the antibiotics. That's not going to help anyway. You know, we like ourselves. We like ourselves a lot. He says, if you'll humble ourselves, you know, we'll just turn over to the book of James right quick and tell you what the Bible says a little bit about being humble. The book of James, chapter 4, starting in verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, the opposite of humility is pride. We have got a pride problem as Americans. We really do. I think Brother Tom made a funny little joke about it here the other day. He says, I wrote a book one time on how to be proud and the steps that I took to get that way. Excuse me, how to be humble and the steps I took to be that way. You know, we like ourselves a lot, okay? Everything that we do, that we want everybody to see our accomplishments. Everything. You ask me, how do you know this, Brother Curtis? Well, I'm not on Facebook anymore, but all the time when somebody's saying, you know, look what somebody posts on Facebook. Really? Some of the stuff that we want everybody to notice that we do? Are we that caught up on ourselves that we forget that other people just might not care? You know? So you caught a fish this big. So the guy over here caught one that big. You know? So what's your accomplishment there? We've you know, God says he resists the proud, resists the pride, and gives more grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Just a little side rabbit here, right here, to catch this rabbit and say I did it. I heard somebody say the other day, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. No, he won't. You try to resist the devil on your own terms. He's just going to look at you and say, oh yeah, who are you? What are you about? You know, but it says, if you're right there, submit yourselves therefore to God. First step, resist the devil. Then he'll flee from you. Okay, takes things in steps. It says, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Down in verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If we go back to our text that I took my marker out of. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Marker. Put back in place. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. James 5:16. Let's look at that right quick. It says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, there's so much that we can go in just these two subjects right here alone, you know, on humbling ourselves, not being prideful. We could go on for months on that right there, and then prayer. Oh, we couldn't exhaust prayer. You know, we just couldn't. The importance of prayer. It says, seek my face. What does he mean by seek God, my face? Well, find out what God wants us to do. Okay? He says, the Bible tells us, you know, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. He wants us to be thankful for everything we have, everything we do. So if we were to go back and see that he shut up the rain from us, and see that, you know, he sent locusts into our lands, and see that he sent pestilence among us, what should we say? Thank you. Thank you. Because the Lord did it. He allowed it to take place. Yeah, we got to be thankful for the bad times as well as the good times. And just remember, thank you, Lord. Allow me. Thank you. You're the one that sent it. Okay? It says in turn, hang on, gotta catch up to my spot where I was at, okay? See my face? And turn from their wicked ways. What is turn from your wicked ways? That's something that a lot of people don't like to hear anymore when they're, it's called repentance. Okay? It's to stop doing what you were doing. Okay? You don't stop doing what God don't want you to do, and do what he wants you to do. Okay? Is to repent. Turn from your wicked ways, he says. He says, if we meet all these conditions, he says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. You know, that was the easy part. I'm going to see if I can bring a little application to this to us. You know, God appeared to Solomon. He didn't appear to the people. Okay? He didn't. This is a personal thing. Folks, how long has it been since God appeared to you? You say, what do you mean to that? When you've been reading in his word, he's kind of stopped you in your tracks, and you had to meditate on it a little bit. Or maybe he's put something across your mind that, hey, pray for whatever. Okay? Just do that. I'm going to try to remind us of how the Lord has blessed us. Okay? See, the children of Israel, they got to have part in the building of God's house. It's a beautiful thing, okay? Most beautiful building that man has ever built at the time. They had a physical part in that, in building of this thing. And then, you know, not only the physical building of it, of, you know, they were all there, according to what the Word of God says. They were all there at the dedication. And they got to see the fire come down and consume the offering that was there. All right? This was a good time for them. Okay? They had a feast for 7 days. They they were enjoying God's blessing, okay? And yet, when God appears to Solomon later, he says, I've heard your prayer. And I accept this place. And if I allow things to happen, okay, if God allows it to happen, and probably will, he says, if these certain requirements are met, then we can get back on track. Just made it even better than it was before. And then he goes on to talk to Solomon personally about, you know, if you don't continue and carry on, he says, I'm going to just remove you out of the picture. Well, we see that, you know, he got removed, you know, later on. Okay, he dabbled around in places he shouldn't have dabbled around at, and God, you know, he started seeking other gods, and God said, okay, that's enough. Okay, no more. All right. The Lord has blessed us. Months ago, years ago, best I can try to remember, I've only been here a few short years now, but I remember Miss Beth praying for her brother. He got saved. We just got back from camp. We had kids get saved. Had 7 people baptized last week. Really good times. The Lord has blessed, just like here, the Lord has blessed these people. They were in a good time. The Lord has blessed us tremendously. There's been over 100 kids that was saved at Southland Christian Camp that we was at. And you say, well, how's that involved with us? You know, We've had some folks that made some curtains for them. That's the impact toward those kids. We took a work crew up there to work on their gym. They put brand new floor down. They use it as an auditorium. Beautiful place, gorgeous. Every kid who's going to be there, you know, from now till they can quit using the thing, you know, is going to walk across those floors that you worked on. We got a little impact there. Brother Wayne was telling about the ones who's got saved, you know, everywhere he goes, you know, up in camp, 20 something folks at your camp, was that right, Brother Wayne? Sir? 12, okay. Everywhere he goes, he preaches, folks get saved. Well, Brother Bruce, where he goes, who can keep up with Brother Bruce? Folks are getting saved. Hopefully with David here, it's the same way. Hopefully the Lord will bless him in the same way. Brother Penny down there on the other side of the world. The internet ministry have fixed that we're trying to get launched. It is in its infancy. The Lord is blessing. Just like the time of blessing that the children of Israel got to see here. Folks, the Lord is going to send the locusts. He's going to allow things to use up our resources, and we're going to go, why? You know, why in the world can't we do what we want to do? Because we don't have the resources to, possibly. Well, he's going to allow that to happen. He's going to not send the rain. We're going to think, well, we ought to be doing better than what we're doing. You know, why? It's going to be because he's going to allow it. There's going to be a time, whether it be personally or with, you know, as a church here, that we're not going to be able to do for ourselves because of pestilence, possibly. We can't do it on our own power, the stuff that we was doing before. Why? Because the Lord's allowed it. Now, let's just take what God told Solomon. Let's see if we can't do something about that. He says, if my people, are we not his people? We're called by our name. Okay? Humble themselves. Oh, that's hard for us to do. We're a prideful people. We are a prideful people. You know, pride has got to be, it's got to be the toughest. So humble themselves and pray. What would you pray for? Well, just like Solomon did. He prayed and said, Lord, when this takes place, and they say, please, I'm sorry, we're wrong, help. Seek his face. Find out what God wants us to do. Get on our knees and beg him. Say, please. Well, guess what? He'll allow us to have some more good times again. He'll bless us again. Yes, we're in a time of blessing right now. Wasn't too long ago. You look around and man, you wonder. You really wonder. What's the Lord going to do at this place? Well, he's allowed us to have some good times. He really has. I want to bring it down to us personally now. Has the Lord taken the rain away from you? Has he allowed things not to happen? Has the Lord sent the locusts to devour the stuff that you have? Are you spending money on things that you maybe hadn't need to spend money on? Is the Lord putting a little pestilence on you? I don't understand why I can't bend down and touch my toes anymore. I don't understand why I got this cough has lasted for weeks at a time. Maybe it's the Lord's allow it. Okay? Folks, we humble ourselves. It's got to start with giving ourselves up. We got to give ourselves up and pray. Seek his face. Stand. I'm not good at altar calls. I'm not really certain how to. But if the Lord has spoke to you tonight, come down and do business with him. Maybe he's telling you that yeah, we got some pride issues we got to take care of. Maybe it's you just need to say, thank you, Lord, for the good times. You know, we've prayed for souls around here and he's given them to us. Maybe we need to pray for a few more. Go, John.
Page 223. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Well, it's been a good day today. Thank you all for listening. I didn't see too many people nod off, but thank you. This was a difficult one for me, and I just don't know why the Lord wouldn't let me get away from it. So thank you all very much. So, Brother John, give me a drink.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, Blessed Assurance. This is my story.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You're dismissed.